Are you ready for the ultimate sports showdown? This is OW Sports, your weekly dose of opinionated adrenaline-pumping action. You'll find it right here with your hosts, Vince and Stevie D. Now let's get it on.
And welcome back to another edition of OW Sports, Season 7. Stevie D, new digs. New digs. Love it.
We got new all over the place for Season 7.
We do. I'm looking at your backdrop. You got a lot going on there. I see a little Daryl Revis, Kevin Mawai, Webb Eubank, DeBrickashaw. You got the brick up there. Looks nice back there.
Yeah. That's the Jets Wall of Fame. As the season goes along, we play with our different screens. We're going to see more players come into action. But that's the complete list of the Jets Wall of Fame. Excited to unveil it little by little to everybody. You've got some OW Sports swag on the back wall there.
I see. Right? Maybe we could turn that into like a little financial endeavor, right? They have fat heads. All of a sudden, now you can have your own. OW Sports. Stevie D, since we've been gone, there's been a lot that's been happening in the NFL, a lot between the Jets, a lot between the Bills, and, of course, all throughout the league. I know that, while we were away on our hiatus, checking out some of the other podcasts that were out there, listened to, a lot of, like Sirius Radio and listened to CBS and NFL and just listened to all that's happening out there. The landscape has really changed this year. Especially with a lot of the big names kind of moving, retirements, but players moving teams. And no more than I can say with my Buffalo Bills in the 716. It was a house clean. I kept texting you. It hurt, right? Yeah. Day after day, it just felt like I was taking shots, right? And I understand with football and really within professional sports, you have to stay within the confines of the salary cap, and sometimes you go all in. But I think as fans, we forget about what it took to get to a certain point. Yeah. We may still think we know that at some point you're gonna have to pay the piper, but you don't think it's gonna happen. And when it happens, it hurt, right? It hurt.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Was it 52, 53, something like that, that you were over? These were a lot of names walk out that door, whether it's free agents or trade, right? It's definitely going to be a new-look Bills team in 2014. But, I've gone through those days, and we weren't very good, and we were still over the cap. And you're like, wait a minute, we didn't have a winning season. How are we over the cap? Are we that bad at managing money? And contracts, but the Jets, they had a busy offseason. We'll get into that a little later. And it's like one of those, when you go and read between the lines in the contract, and you wonder, what is that going to look like for the Jets in 25 when you have, your base and then all your incentives, right? So when we talk about salary caps for teams, you think of a contract and you say, well, a two-year $10 million, right? And then all of a sudden, it's really a two-year $10 million on the base, right? $5 million per year. But all of a sudden, those incentives, when do those incentives kick in? Is that for the existing year? Or is it going to be punted to the following year? And then all of a sudden, you go into the following year, wait a minute. When you calculate it in your head, you're like, wait a minute, I know we had more money. And then it's like, oh, yeah, those contracts you gave those guys? Well, those incentive-laden contracts? Yeah, they punted that to the following year, and you lose that money on your salary cap. So it's interesting. And, you brought it up about how exciting free agency is, right? We're going to go over some of the names here shortly as well that changed zip codes. But what do we used to talk about in baseball? Baseball free agency would hit midnight, and big names would be off the table early in October. Right. Right? The trade deadlines were really, really exciting in baseball. Well, now you kind of flip sports, where football used to be boring at the trade line. Free agency was good, but it was not like it is now. And now the baseball and football is totally flipped, and football is so exciting in the offseason with the free agents, with trades. The trade deadline is now exciting, and maybe it's the evolution of offenses and defenses where you can easily plug in players now in other systems and get a lot of use out of them for the remainder of the year. Where back in the day, I think people said, well, this person doesn't know that system. How many plays is he going to know before the end of the year?
The only thing, though, when you talk about free agency in the NFL, that I still don't get it, Stevie D. I still don't get it. What is legal tampering? If you can explain what legal tampering is, because I'm willing to bet that tampering, illegal tampering, is happening right now for next year, right? The guys, you have the players. I mean, heck, you had Trayvon Diggs. That's illegal tampering, right? He was telling his brother, you got to get out of there. You got to get out of there. Right? And, you know, when these guys go to – even when they travel on the road, or if they go on a bye week, or they go to a Pro Bowl or what have you, they're talking. You know, these guys are saying, we'd love to have you. We got to have you. You've seen very cryptic type tweets during the regular season of, wow, it'd be nice to have OBJ, you know, something like that. And then all of a sudden the league said, well, we're going to make this legal tampering. And when legal tampering happens, all of a sudden, not only do you hear that a team is talking to a player, you're hearing that they're signing the player, and here's the contract details. This is supposed to be legal tampering. So when the clock hits, it was a little anticlimactic. I mean, I'm not going to lie, because we already knew that as soon as 12 o'clock hit, we already knew 50 guys that were moving from one team to another. They have to tweak that a little bit, right?
But how do you tweak it? Just get rid of tampering altogether, because at the end of the day, there's this tampering. I don't know how else to put it. And it's funny when teams go after another team for tampering when you know, man, you did that 2 years ago. What's his name? Right. So, I mean,
exactly.
To go after a team for tampering, it's kind of like,
exactly. Well, Stevie D, we have a jam-packed show.
Yep.
Again, very happy to be in the new digs. We had to make the change. And we hope that, you know, everybody will appreciate some of the changes that we have in store. Even just the overall, you know, visual. It's fun. But as we get into it, Stevie D, I'm gonna defer on my Bills, because there's a lot to talk about there. Luckily, I'm not talking about my Sabres, because there's not a lot to talk about except for firing the coach. But that should have happened 3 months ago, and maybe you'd be in the playoffs. But aside from that, I want to talk about what's happening in New York, because the one thing that you called that wasn't going to happen, but it's the inevitable, is with Zach Wilson. We know that Aaron Rodgers is, you know, from all intents and purposes, he's ready to go. He was there at the non-mandatory team activities. And you got your signal caller back.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting about Aaron Rodgers. Last year, he had some interviews towards the end of mini camp, and he says, I won't be there for the voluntary OTAs. He's like, I have my routine in California, and I stick to it, and, you know, with my working out. And then a couple of weeks ago, it leaked out that he was going to show. And I thought that was interesting, that I think when you're trying to build a team culture, and when you're active in free agency and trades, and 1/6 of your roster is new by players that you brought in from the outside, I think it's important to build that team chemistry. And as your leader, as the captain, right, the man that's going to, you know, play quarterback, I think it's important for you to be there. And so I don't want to say kudos to you, because you should want to be there, right? Yeah, that's your team. You want to win a Super Bowl. You should be at involuntary, the voluntary stuff and the mandatory. You should be there, any player, right? So I'm not going to give him kudos. I'm just happy to see that he's there.
Yeah. It's, you know, and your team addressed some of the weaknesses, the biggest one being the offensive line. So you guys went all in there. I'd like to see what you do in the draft. Taking myself out of the division, out of the podcast, right? if I was just looking at team by team, I would say that the Jets need to continue to build that offensive line. What say you?
Yeah, I agree, but I don't think they're going to do that. I think they are, you know, if you want to talk about the draft, my personal take is you trade down as little as possible, whether it's the 15 for Minnesota, not Minnesota, 11 is Minnesota, but draft down to 15. I think that's Atlanta. If they want to mix and match, right? You trade down and then grab somebody's second round pick because you don't have a second rounder, right? You still have plenty of wide receiver depth.
You can go to 28. Round.
No, we don't want to go that far.
I'm sure the team at 28 would be willing to make a move.
Yeah, we're not going to give you the next Patrick Mahomes type player. I know of a team that did that and gave away Patrick Mahomes, but and he's only got, what, 3 Super Bowls?
Super Bowl. I know a team that was 27th that made that move. See, 28th is completely
you're
different.
Good. Right, right. 28, you're good. I could see the Jets trading down a little bit and getting a second-round pick. Get your wide receiver, maybe a Brian Thomas out of LSU at 10. And then in the second round, it's not like a gimme pick, but you can maybe pick up a lineman or, you know, they got to get a little bit younger and more athletic next to Quinn Williams in defensive tackle. I could see them maybe going defensive tackle and then start building the line in the third and fourth rounds for
so you wouldn't go at – and we have a draft
show. I think it all depends who's there, right? I think
it's all right. Next week that we're going to explore a little bit deeper, but I'm just curious. Yeah, you don't think so? First of all, the rumor is Bowers, right? That's the rumor I'm hearing from everybody, and I think that's more the smoke than anything. But you don't think that the play would be for an offensive lineman there?
Personally speaking, if I was staying at 10, if I wasn't trading down, I'm taking the guy from Penn State if he's available, Olu Fashanu.
You would go offensive line.
I would go offensive line. I know, and Jet fans want that. I mean, it's a sexy pick, Brock Bowers, right? Another weapon in the center that can help Aaron Rodgers. It's great, right? It all sounds great, but the reality is, and when we talk about free agency for the Jets, the word "if" is the defining word of the Jets offseason. If the free agents stay healthy, the Jets will contend for the division title and hopefully be a force in the playoffs.
Right.
If the free agents get hurt, the Jets will be maybe a little bit better than last year. Maybe. If you can keep your quarterback, all right, depending on who's hurt. Right? So it's that – I talk about this a lot, the what-if game. And when you go all in because you didn't have the money, I understand what Joe Douglas did, right? You didn't have $50, $60, $70 million like the Texans had, right? You had $24 million, and then you redid a couple of contracts like CJ to gain some leverage there and get some extra dollars. So what did you do? You bought low on guys that can do it when healthy, and you just got to cross your fingers that they stay healthy. And that's why I think the Jets, from an offensive line perspective, in the draft, need to address that, because Tyron Smith, dude, one healthy, guy's a beast, right? Run blocking, pass blocking, guy's a beast. Mm-hmm. But if he goes down, who do you got? Carter Warren? I mean, who are you going to – you're going to slide in Vera Tucker over to left tackle, and now all of a sudden you're going to need a right guard. And okay, so you're going to plug in one of your guys that did okay, right? But that's how it all starts, right? And so – I personally think you have to start thinking of also year two and beyond. And I think you try and find that left tackle of the future at pick number 10. That's if I was drafting, that's what I would do. Like you said, the smoke screen with Brock Bowers. Great. Can be a generational talent. Everybody that's drafting, and it's going to be picked in the top 10, unless somebody really goes out on a limb like the Giants did with what's his name? The quarterback there, Danny Dimes, right? If you don't go out on a crazy limb and draft somebody that's out of place, it's still a crapshoot. There's no guarantees that you're going to draft somebody and they're going to be a stud. So I'm not saying that Brock is going to be or he's not going to be.
You know who he reminds me of?
Who? Which one?
Kyle Brady. There you go, Jet fans. Shots fired. April 17th, shots fired. Just you know, putting it out.
That ruined spring break in Daytona Beach, okay? Right? We purposely did not go out. We stayed in the hotel room to watch the draft. And like idiots, all us Jet fans are in the room chanting Warren Sapp. Like a bunch of, well, we were a little over teenagers, so what am I kidding? I think I was 19. And we're chanting Warren Sapp. And I'll never forget it watching ESPN. And the Jets select Kyle Brady. Mel Kiper is sifting through his paperwork trying to figure out Kyle Brady was probably a fifth-round pick. And he's shuffling to pick it up. He's scuffling to say what. And we were all like, who? Kyle Brady. That's who we got. And that name haunts us still. To this day, that last name. I can't stand that last name. It's still haunting us.
But free agent-wise, you brought in some beef up front.
Yes. So we talked about Tyron Smith at left tackle. We brought back one of my favorites, Morgan Moses, who Joe Douglas came out and admitted he made a mistake by letting him go out the door. We made a trade, basically a pick swap in the fourth round. I think the Ravens were trying to dump salary, offseason shoulder surgery, right? So it's, you know, he's still got a rehab from that. Now, if he's healthy, Morgan Moses is going to play a great right tackle for the Jets. So we got the corners figured out. And we cut Laken Tomlinson. And we replaced him with John Simpson, free agent left guard out of Baltimore. So we got two-fifths of Baltimore's offensive line. Now, John Simpson at left guard, you know, he's an interesting signing. It wasn't a break-the-bank signing on a two-year contract for him. His pass grades and his block grades are fantastic, right? Fantastic. The problem with John Simpson and Craig, I see you're on there chatting us up about the shoulder problems, right? I don't know, can you throw it up there? But John Simpson has penalty problems. I think he was the most highly penalized left guard in the league, right? So, you know, you get that big play and then it could be a hold, right? And then, so it's like, okay. But John Simpson was a highly rated pass protector run guard. But when it comes to penalties, really bad. So that's the revamped, right? So remaining holdovers, you got Vera Tucker at right guard, and you're going to have at center, who I'm really, you know, obviously Tippmann, who I'm excited to see in year two and his growing. He's a big boy at 6'6" center. So I do like the way it's formed. Again, what did I say earlier?
Wait a minute. I don't hear anybody from Green Bay.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm so happy you said that. Right. I'm so happy you said that, because it just goes to show you, when the Jets don't listen to Aaron Rodgers and sign 6 or 7 players from Green Bay and let, I don't know, the GM be the GM. Right. Novel idea. Now, and so I am happy with the way they did the offensive line. You know, obviously we made a trade a couple of weeks ago. Right. We lost Bryce Huff, our outstanding young edge rusher. He went to Philly with Jay. Right, on a 3-year, $51 million deal. Really happy for Bryce Huff. Undrafted free agent. Worked his way. Worked just to get snaps. I'm so happy for him. Sorry to see him go. But it did leave a little bit of a void. And the Jets pulled off a trade for Hassan Reddick. So
you did, Craig. I'm going to talk about that one shortly. You did.
Yeah. So, you know, Hassan Reddick on that trade, you know, with the rush. A couple weeks before that, Mike Williams, right? Again, if Mike Williams comes back healthy, it's right? Solid. And paired with Garrett Wilson. Because the question for me with the Jets is, what are you going to do with 1 through 3? Are you going to do Mike Williams, Alan Lazard, and then Garrett Wilson in the slot? Right? How are you going to play that? Are you going to keep Wilson and Williams on the edge and do Xavier Gibson in the slot, who I like in the slot because he's smaller, faster, got great legs. He's got really good vision to allow blocks to set up ahead of him. And so he's a patient guy and he's quick. So he can allow blockers to block downfield and allow you to make your moves, or he can have that, as Gus Williams would say, right? Get away from the cop speed, right? If you remember Gus Johnson, doing the games, which I miss. I wish the NFL would bring him back from college. I miss him over in the NFL, but I do like that tandem, right? And then what do? We finally got a backup. Hey, a year too late, but we got a backup quarterback, right? So what do? We got a hole there with Zach Wilson. He's not going to be on the team. He's on the team. Nobody wants him. It's going to be interesting how this soap opera ends with Zach Wilson, but we got Tyrod Taylor.
I'm going to tell you, here's the scenario. Love me some Tyrod Taylor, but Tyrod can't stay healthy, right?
Yeah. Don't even say it. Do not even say it. Do not. No.
Bear with me.
Where's the end broadcast button? Where the is it?
Rodgers is going to be out for a game. Tyrod's going to come in, and in typical Tyrod fashion, he's going to do some good things, but he's going to get hurt. That's going to leave it to the emergency quarterback, and here comes Zach. Everybody hating on Zach, the boos cascading down in the state of New Jersey, just boo. And Zach, with a rebuilt offensive line, with legitimate wide receivers, is able to lead the Jets to a victory.
You know, there is something to be said. I thought Zach had a lot of – he's got a lot of talent, obviously. He showed what he can do, and now you put it with a good offensive line and weapons around him. The problem is the weapons don't want to play for him like Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson at the end of the day. I don't think they want to go down that route again. I just wish they would look at the offensive line play when the kid is running for his life and trying to make plays. But – That's in the past.
Concerning, Stevie D. When you make a statement like that, that's a little concerning on the player themselves, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, look. They spent 2 years with the kid, two really subpar seasons, and you know, right or wrong, you know, look. I look. The writing was on the wall.
I would expect Garrett to be a leader. If he felt that way, you as Stevie D should never know that.
That's fair. That's fair, right? Young players, maybe he will mature this year in year three. You know, they had some really good sideline conversations during the game. That was definitely a two-way conversation where he was passionate for Zach. So maybe he did kind of when the Jets were in contention, when the Jets all of a sudden couldn't score points, I think frustration just comes out. And you see with every team when you're not scoring points, right? You know your defense is balling and you can't even put up a touchdown for, I don't know, six games, five and a half. Right. So, but, you know, and then we signed some other, you know, D linemen, you know, Javon Kinlaw from the 49ers, again, to reshore that's a nice
signing.
It is a nice signing under the radar, kind of cheap signing, another 1 year deal. But, you know, the theme here for the Jets has all been short-term deals, and it's going to give the Jets that flexibility when it comes to re-signing some of their own players. I think they should start really, really looking at this at the end of the year of who they can start re-signing of the big three from the first round picks a couple of years ago with Sauce Garrett and Jermaine Johnson, and to try and secure that future. And then you really know what your dollars are looking at. But, you know, They also big signings. Thomas Morstead, he was a really good punter for the Jets last year. We got him back. Greg the Leg Zuerlein came back on a 2 year deal. Really happy about that. Chuck Clark, the injured safety that tore his ACL, he's back on a one-year deal. Solomon Thomas, and then you're bringing up the rear, Kenny Yabua. So the Jets really, offseason has been really, really busy. I really like the moves for the money they had to spend.
Sure.
Right? And I think Jet fans, I think there's Jet fans that understand the salary cap and what it all means, and I think there's some Jet fans that may not really understand how it all works, where you get upset on day one that you didn't sign, you know, a big time player, or you didn't get Calvin Ridley, or you didn't get, you know, those day one kind of kids that are commanding that 3 year, $50 million plus contract. The sad reality is we had to wait for the tier twos and some of that dollar to come down and the market to be set a little bit for some of these guys, where you can go in and swoop them up on what I call incentive laden team friendly deals, right? If Tyron Smith plays 17 games, you're going to pay $20 million for him, right? You're only paying $6.5 million this year. You'll probably spread out some of the incentives this year, and it's going to be part of your dead cap money next year.
Yeah.
Right? But I'd rather have him for 17 games this year and pay that money, because if he plays 17 games, we're probably going to be in good shape come January, right? So that's the trade-off. So that's the Jets free agency season in a nutshell. It's if – the if game.
I, I couldn't help myself. I couldn't help myself, right? Got all these little toys here. Well, CBD, before I kick into overdrive about my Buffalo Bills, you can see what I have behind me. We lost a great one on the football field, right? I'm not trying to get into all the semantics, what happened after, which is crazy, Stevie D, because you can't escape it, right? But it was a shock, right? It was a shock.
Totally blew my mind. I had no idea he was sick.
Yeah. Yeah, they kept it under wraps. It was very mum as far as any of the illness. I think even one of his last Twitter posts or Instagram posts, you know, he said, there may be some questions about my health, but I'm okay. Right. And then all of a sudden, you know, a month, 2 months later, you know, you hear that he's passed. And so you would think that it would be the end of a 30-year saga, a drama, right? And, you know, I don't want to diminish anything that happened with the Brown family or the Goldman family, right? But as you look at it, they had the trial, they had the acquittal, and everything kind of should have shifted. But what he did on the field as a Buffalo Bill, you know, eventually being traded to the 49ers, but what he did on the field as a Buffalo Bill, the ability to run for 2,000 yards in a 14-game season, you know, has never been duplicated. And you know, it's something that you see the players of the game, the especially the running backs, right, a very tight community, they still admire all of the exploits that were done when he played the game. And so, you know, his passing, you know, it's sad when anybody passes, right? And so, you know, it's sad from the Bills family. Little surprised, right? The Canton Hall of Fame.
I was curious if you were going to mention it because I was going to bring that up, yeah.
Yep, Canton Hall of Fame flew the flag at half mast in recognizing and respect for the passing. The Buffalo Bills did nothing. Did nothing. Terry Pegula, who, you know, as time goes on with both my Bills and my Sabres, I think Terry Pegula is more talk than anything else. Because Terry Pegula said that when he purchased the team, he respected the franchise, he respected the history. And to some, it may be controversial, but the flag flying at half mast was for his accolades on the field, right? Not what was alleged or what you think, right? Because at the end of the day, only three people really know, right? What really happened. We can all, or four, right? we all can make our own judgments or our own opinions based on what we've seen, but there's always a reason why one way or the other. So if you are the owner of that franchise, there should have been some sort of, even for a day, the flag coming to half mast to say, this man wore this uniform. He is the reason why we're in this stadium, right? They built that stadium, and that was built on his back, and they should have acknowledged that, and it wasn't done. So shame on you, Terry Pegula. If I take Terry Pegula to my Sabres, shame on you for letting this team mire in just mediocrity to below what is just a joke, right? And you can't fire a coach midway through the season, and now you miss the playoffs again. But, you know, we're talking football. But that's the owner, the dual owner. So he hired a new VP, Stevie D, a VP of operations who actually is wearing two hats. So we'll see what happens. Maybe there's a little bit more accountability. But with that being said, I mean, where do I start, right? Where do I start? I told you that they went through and it was like a garage sale. They just opened up the garage, right? And they said, we're throwing this out. We're throwing that out, right? Jordan Poyer gets thrown out, right?
I don't even recognize your roster. I don't even know who's on your team other than your quarterback.
You're going to have keep the program with you as you're watching the game because you don't know who half the people are, right?
Hey, before you get into it, what's up, Marcus? How you doing, buddy?
Oh, hey, Marcus. Hey, yeah. So, you know, Stevie D, as we think about this, as we go through this, some of the things we knew had to happen, right? To your point, you're sitting at $50-plus million over the cap. You gotta start cutting some people, right? Some people have got to restructure salaries. We knew Josh was going to restructure his deal. That ended up happening. All right, great. You knew that Von Miller was another one, right? And I sent to you guys in our little off-season texting, chatting, you know, here's my list of who I think really needs to go, right? One of the names on there that everybody was shocked is when I said Trey White, right? Trey White, and it's unfortunate, you talked about the Mahomes draft day trade, right? Trey White was actually the pick that we selected in the first round as part of that trade. And he had really good seasons with the Buffalo Bills, right? He was a community guy. He was a locker room guy. He was a captain. He played well on the field. He earned that, right? You can't say that he was a bust or anything. And then the injury bug caught him, right? Back-to-back years, basically losing the entire season. And that's just – that's the crusher. You start to think as an organization, either A, he snake bit, or B, this is going to be something that is just going to continuously happen, and his ability to perform at that high level is shrinking. And I can't pay you all that money. Now, there's rumor that the Bills were hoping that he wouldn't sign, he wouldn't find a home, that they'd be able to release him and somehow find a way to bring him back at a much lower cost. But you know, you roll the dice. Good for Trey that he was able to find another home, right? Kudos to you, and I thank you, sir. I thank you for everything that you did for the Buffalo community. I thank you for everything you did with the Buffalo Bills. Very sad to see him go.
Okay? Now, Trey, he left. I think he went to the Rams.
He did.
On a 1-year $10 million, but I don't know if that $10 million is guaranteed. My question to you is Trey a week one player, or he still have to rehab and start the year on IR and come back? I don't know.
You know, that's a good question. That's a good question because he's still rehabbing and not sure, you know, and now not hearing any updates on that. I'm not sure what he's going to be like for week one. I was surprised to see that he was scooped up so quickly. I would have figured it would be similar to like more of an OBJ where you were hurt during the season, you know, you're rehabbing during the off season, and we'll wait and test you out to see, you know, if you're really truly a full go or not. But the investment that they're making. Now, interestingly enough, you mentioned the 1-year deal, and we were talking a little bit about the tampering and about free agency and what the Jets are doing. But that's starting to become commonplace throughout the league, right? For these guys that are being signed to 1-year deals, maybe an option on there, you know, and where teams now are kind of being very meticulous as far as their signings, the books, what's going to be counted as dead money, right? This dead money is killing teams, right? Because you're still responsible for it. So to see him go for a 1-year deal doesn't surprise me. And a lot of the guys, even a lot of the Buffalo Bills signings were 1-year deals, right? They had probably about 15 signings, and you know, 2/3 of them were for 1-year deals.
Well, you signed that many players just as replacement players for the guys that you had to let go.
Yeah, but you know, when you talk about names or who's going to be a true key contributor, I don't think you're going to see that. You know, Craig made reference to the fact that, and I'll put it back up there again, that the Ravens signed Deontay Hardy, right? And I want to pause on my Bills and talk about the Deontay Hardy signing. You had Pittsburgh. Oh, I'm drawing a mind blank from Atlanta. Cordell Patterson, the signing there. And you're starting to see teams look at these players that have a specialty. And that's because of the new kickoff rule, Stevie D.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yep.
So there were two big changes that came out of the meetings. One was the hip slide tackle, right? what I'm hearing is that it's not going to really be called. We'll probably see it called a lot in preseason games, but when you get to games, it'll be more of a fine than a penalty. So it'll be interesting how that plays out. But to me, the biggest one is the new kickoff, right? Because now the new kickoff is going to set up so that your returner is basically has wide open field, right? And it's those guys like a Deontay Hardy, like a Cordarrelle Patterson, right? Guys like that, Xavier Gibson, right? There's another one for you, your guy. Guys that are, and Darren Sproles, who's no longer in the league, but that type of guy that can, you know, kind of pinball around and next thing you know, find that hole and he's gone, right? So it's going to be interesting how now they're saying that they examined what happened in the USFL, XFL, whichever one it was. They examined how it worked in the success. It opened up again for more big plays, but it didn't happen that often where it changed the balance of the game. But I think teams, and to Greg's point, teams need to prepare for that, right? And you've seen some of these teams go out and sign some of these guys early, right? Because they know the impact that they can have in a game, right? So if you're kicking off, you kick a field goal, and now you have to kick off. And I got one of these guys. If he can hit that seam, all of a sudden that's a 4-point swing in my favor, right? Yeah. It just took away your field goal. It's like basically you gave me 4 points. So I think it's a really big move, and I think it's going to change the dynamic. All of what they had talked about for the kickoffs, I'm okay with this, right? I'm okay with this because you still allow a play in the game to stay in the game, right? Well,
it's the rules around it, right? If you call a fair catch from this point to that point, you get it at the 30.
Right, right.
And when you put all these little crazy rules in, it's just, man, it's overkill, right? I got to know 8 different rules on a kickoff now.
This is true.
And so it's, I don't know. I thought it went a little overboard with it. Like sometimes I think people get in a room and they overthink it and they put too much around it. Well, if this happens, well, then we got to do this. And then if that happens, we got to do that. And
you know who was in the room, don't you?
Bill Belichick? I don't know.
Sean McDermott. So he was in there, you know, he's like, hold on, call a timeout. I need to really examine what this is going to be. You know, that was Sean McDermott. That's what he does. But you're right, right? There's like 5 different scenarios to every kickoff on where the ball ends up, right? But it certainly, the thing that it does do, CVD, is that it keeps the kickoff in play. Because there have been talks to eliminate kickoffs.
Right. Which would have been ridiculous. You're right. It keeps the play alive. It does add excitement because hopefully you're going to have more kick returns. Right.
Hopefully you have the guy. No, hopefully you have the guy that can do the kick returns.
Well, I got my guy, so I'm good.
I don't. My guy just went to Baltimore. You're welcome, Craig. My guy just went there. So, no, I don't have it, but you're to your point. And then we talked about the hip slide tackle. So that will be interesting as that goes on. Getting back to my Bills, right? I guess let's just rip off the Band-Aid, right? A lot of moves were made, right? A lot of key people. You didn't know who was going to stay. Maintain Daquan Jones. That was great. Put the Band-Aid. Time to just air it. Stephon Diggs traded to the Houston Texans. Now, when I heard this, I don't know what chair I fell out of. I don't know. Maybe I was standing and just fell down, right? Just collapsed. Like, what in the world?
Right. Well, you and I talked about it. You're like, the Bills are not going to trade Diggs. There's no way. There's no way they're going to trade Diggs.
Yeah. And Diggs had a high number, right? Because constantly looking at that cap, he had a high number. But when I think about it, well, when it first happened, I was upset, right? Brandon Bean, you were on my hit list. Yeah, I can tell you right now, you were on my hit list. It still is kinda, right? But not as much. If you think about it and you look at everything that transpired this offseason, we understand where the Buffalo Bills are for the 2024 season. They are in a modified rebuild, reload type season. That's what it is. Bills fans, recognize it, understand it. If we are successful this year, that's the gravy. That's the icing. But what we are doing this year is clearing out all that dead cap money, making sure that we are ready and prepared to go into 2025. That's what it was.
Yeah.
That was the move for Diggs, right? I don't think being new, but we got lucky, right? Now, there's a couple things with this trade, Stevie D. When they sent Diggs to Houston, when I looked at the return, I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Because not only did we trade Diggs, we traded a fifth-round pick. Not only that, we traded a sixth-round pick, and we got coming back a second-round pick. I know when I trade in Madden, I try to get more.
When I trade in Madden, I love it.
I try to get more than the other side, right? That's just me. And they didn't get a first-round, which my emotion said I wanted a first-round pick for a guy who's been a perennial all-pro. I want a first-round pick. As I cooler head started to take over and I listened to, you know, some of the analysts that were out there, started to realize that wide receivers weren't bringing back that premium of a number one pick. Unless you're a Justin Jefferson, and maybe that's about it, right? That you're going to get a first-round pick.
They have the youth.
They have the youth. That's correct. So there's a lot that's in the negative side. Plus, they were going to take on that contract. But yet, I'm like, wait a minute. We're still carrying that dead cap money. All right. So I still was mixed with emotion. And then I heard second round pick. And at first, I was thinking that it was the Houston Texans second round pick. So here's where I am, Stevie D.
Okay.
I've traded a legit number one wide receiver, maybe trailing to becoming a number two. But I trade him inside my own conference to an up-and-coming team that was in the playoffs and was making a lot of noise. They were making a lot of noise with two of their starting all-pro wide receivers hurt, with a stud young quarterback, a nice offensive line, a nice tight end, and now I've given you another weapon in my own conference that I'm battling for? But how do you get lucky? You get lucky because the deal that Houston had with Diggs, they ripped it up. One-year deal. All right.
Well, that's he's not coming back to Buffalo after 1 year.
But no. I don't think he's coming back. But now I don't have to worry about him with – I don't have to worry about him with the Texans.
Right. If he wants to go sign with Green Bay or something like that. Yeah.
Let him go to Dallas. Go hang out in Dallas, right? The second-round pick is not the Houston Texans second-round pick. It's Minnesota's second-round pick. I was like, oh, wait a minute. I just moved up 15 spots, right? And now we're talking about a Minnesota Vikings team who is without Kirk Cousins and more than likely going to be drafting their starter. And if they're playing them early, you're looking at 5-6 wins. I potentially – now that second-round pick, if it was Houston, I'm evaluating that or considering that almost like a third-round pick, right? Late in the second.
Right.
Now I have a second-round pick that could be early in the second, and all of those guys that moved from the first round that dropped it to the second, I'm there. I was like,
well, you can parlay that to move back into the first
round. There you go. Great. There you go. And also, other teams are thinking that. I could say, hey, I have a 2025 second round pick. You can have my 28th pick and that pick. Let me jump up. How far does it make me jump? So, of course, I go in there trying to see. I could get to 7, 8, 9, 10, right, in this year's draft if the Bills wanted to. And if they did so, now that wide receiver pool opens wide open for me, right? Now I can get the Diggs replacement, get him on a 5-year deal, and get one of the top guys, right? And so I started thinking, well, Brandon Bean, you were on my hit list. You may be the stinking genius out of this whole thing, right? And so, you know, it really eased. You have, what do we call it, the 5-7 stages of grief, right? I was headed towards stage one of grief with the whole Diggs thing. Very quickly, I got to the end.
I got Moses. I got Morgan Moses for free. We just had to swap positions in the fourth round. So luckily for Craig, it's an early fourth rounder. But, you know, it was a good trade, very good trade by being in the Bills. One, you got out from underneath the contract, first and foremost. Does it stink you don't have right now, you can see on your roster, a legitimate number one, like a Stephon Diggs, right, that can catch in traffic, you know, catch 100-something balls, do all the things that he can do, because I still think he can play at a very high level. So as a Jets fan, I'm lucky he's out of division. I don't have to cover him twice.
I don't have it on April 17th, but right. On April 25th, right about this time or right. So, the card is in. The pick is in.
Well, we'll see if you're able to make that big jump up. But either way, there's so much depth in this draft. I don't think you have to go in the top 10 to get a premier wide receiver that can make a difference. But there it is, right? You still have Josh Allen, who's the difference maker as a quarterback. He's such a valuable weapon that Buffalo is still a very good football team because you have Josh Allen. So to have that 1 year without Stephon Diggs, Johnny, what's up, buddy? And to have that financial situation taken care of going forward, because you're taking a hit this year.
Yes.
I know it may be a little bit rough, but you still got Josh Allen. You still got James Cook. You still got Dalton Kincaid. You're going to talk about him here in a second. You got Curtis Samuel as a wide receiver free agent. It's not like he's nothing. And you got some younger guys, and you're probably going to draft somebody, right? And you don't know who's going to get cut that you can pick up. That may not be a top-tier name, but it still can add to the mix where Josh can spread it around because he can still throw the football. And so I wouldn't sleep on the Buffalo Bills just because they got rid of Stephon Diggs. I think a lot of people say, well, they got rid of Diggs. That's it, right? I can't subscribe to that. And they'll craft an offense, and Joe Brady will craft the offense. He'll spread it around. You still got James Cook.
Well, I'll tell you, it really is. It's going to be dependent upon what happens draft day in June 1st. And here's why. The Bills will replace Stephon Diggs at some point. Not sure if it's going to happen this year. And it may be next year. It may be a trade, a Brandon Ayuk trade, something along those lines. It's going to happen, right? But what people have to understand, there's been a lot of talk about the Diggs numbers, the comparison to Khalil Shakir and his numbers, right? And Shakir put up just as many yards as Diggs did in a certain time frame, right, with less catches. Don't subscribe to that, Stevie D, okay. Right? Because the coaches know, the football minds know, that when Diggs is on the field, Diggs commands attention, right? That's half the reason why the Texans got him. Right? Because he can make plays. Maybe not as many as he used to, but he can. And if he's bringing that level of attention, if that safety is leaning towards that side of the field, especially if they're playing cover two and that two deep safety, if that one safety is leaving, now all of a sudden you have one safety that's responsible for two to three other guys, right? And so that opens that up. When you take that off, that piece out of your offense, now what are you left with, right? You're left with guys that are going to have to earn it and force teams to respect them, right? Whether it be, like you mentioned, Samuel on the outside, whether it be, I don't think you're going to get as much attention from Kincaid, but maybe Kincaid forces, instead of the slot corner, maybe he forces the safety, right, to be one-on-one with that. Hopefully, and I know he's better than a linebacker coverage, right? Then you're looking at, what are you looking at in your slot? What are you looking at on the outside? That's where we're a little thin, right? We do have some guys, you know, you got a Justin Shorter, and there's some other guys that we've talked about that could do it, but they haven't done it. And it's up to these guys to prove themselves out on the field. It is going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. And you're right, when you do have Josh and when you do have a Joe Brady, it's going to be interesting to see what type of offensive style does Joe Brady really bring in his first full year?
Right.
Obviously, coming in mid-year, you're really forced to kind of go with what the previous guy had, right? All the game planning and all of schemes and executions that you want to have, that's all done right now, right? They're devising that type of theory up right now, so that when they get to, you know, opening kickoff, that they're up and running. And I think he's talking. Who's he talking about there? Who are you talking about there, Craig? Not sure on that one. Whether that be Samuel or whether that be Diggs, not sure. But yeah, to that point though, CVD, for Joe Brady, this is his time. He can really enforce what he wants to do, how he wants Josh to perform, right? Do you want Josh to still carry the ball? Which I, you know, whether you have a Brandon Ayuk, whether you have a Justin Jefferson, whether you have Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison, it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. As long as you have Josh Allen in his dual threat, it really creates a lot of pressure on that defense, creates pressure on that defensive line, right? Just like with Craig's team with Lamar Jackson, when you have a player of that ability who can get around the end and that can take it, right? Now, all of a sudden, you're forcing those defensive ends, instead of crashing in hard like they normally do on pocket quarterbacks, all of a sudden they have to kind of hold the edge, right? That old little league or high school type, seal the edge. You're forced to do that. And then they tell them play with their hands up to just – they almost concede and just say, we're not going to try to go for the sack. We're going to try to knock it down. That's what Josh does for you. But that also then tells the linebackers, you have to stay home, right? And when the linebackers have to stay home, they can't, you know, start flowing out and providing help coverage in the secondary, especially with tight ends. That's the type of pressure. That's why you see Andrews being so successful, right? That's why we saw Kincaid be successful. It's because Josh's ability to force that defense to almost play a base type defense. And then, again, this is where Diggs helped, and this is where the guys have to step up. Joe Brady gives Josh that level of freedom. If these wide receivers command that type of double coverage, or at least that awareness in the secondary, it opens it up, right? Now you have perfect throwing lanes to all these guys on the field. And sometimes you just have to be the decoy, right?
Right.
And sure. Accept your role as being the decoy, right? But in order to be a good decoy, you've had to have proven yourself at some point. Anyway, Stevie D, there's a lot we can get into. I don't want to get into all of the theatrics of that, but I do want to just kind of comment on some things. Some of the signings, it was interesting. Not only did Steph Diggs get traded, but the Bills also traded, actually to kind of kick off everything, they traded Ryan Bates, which is a big surprise because you had a solid offensive line. You're trading a guy who was almost kind of like a Swiss Army knife, right? You talked about Bear Tuckett in the past. But he was really good and had played guard and center. And lo and behold, Mitch Morse is now released, you know, a cap cut. And now you've released the guy that you had at center. And so now you're figuring Connor McGovern's going in there. But all of a sudden, there's a shakeup to that offensive line. That was a little surprising. But we were able to get back a fifth-round pick. So, you know, then we were able to parlay these picks around, right, in this Monopoly game that Brandon Bean likes to play. But key signing was the Taron Johnson, probably one of the – even though he made All-Pro, probably one of the most underrated, and not because I'm a Bills fan, but one of the most underrated players on defense. He's a slot corner. Craig, I know you know who Taron Johnson is since you're out there. Taron Johnson is the guy in the playoff game against the Baltimore Ravens that took it to the house 107 yards. Well, actually, probably 103 yards. Took it to the house against the Ravens and sealed that game when the Bills played the Ravens. That's the guy, right? And he's able to go all over the field. Really was a great draft pick by the Buffalo Bills. Again, underrated, but he's staying home. And that was a key save for Sean McDermott as well as for Sorry, Craig, but, you know, anytime you show a little love to my boys, got to do that. They also signed the greatness that is Mitchell Trubisky, Stevie D.
Mitchell brought him Trubisky. Back.
Yes, brought him back. I don't know why. We'll just move on from that one. Daquan Jones, A.J. Epenesa, both coming back on 2-year deals. Epinesa, you know, I have really never been a big fan of AJ Epinesa. I wanted J.K. Dobbins when Craig went to your boys. I wanted J.K. Dobbins.
He went back to Baltimore. Or he went somewhere else.
Who, Dobbins?
Yeah, Dobbins is a free agent.
Right. I'm talking about when they
draft.
Okay. In the draft. And so we had Epinesa. Epinesa really, in my opinion, is DVD. I'm gonna go manager work style on this one. Okay. For Epinesa's season. Hey, he had a good season, right?
Yeah.
But when you review your associates, you have an expectation that they're gonna do certain things, right? And when they do those certain things, when it comes time for the review, you say they met expectations.
Yep.
Right? They didn't go above and beyond, right? But they did what you expected them to do, and that's met expectations. That was the season for AJ Epinesa for me in 2023. But this is what happens with us in society as a whole. When you set your bar so low, right? That then all of a sudden you meet expectations, it almost appears as though you're going above and beyond, because you were so bad. And again, I'm not trying to throw shade on AJ Epinesa. I'm not. But what I am saying is, for me, for you wanted to be paid like a legitimate defensive end edge rusher, you have got to show it game in and game out. Season in and season out. You had didn't show it for the first 3 years. All of a sudden, the fourth year, right, you started doing stuff. Batting balls down, intercepting balls. I'm like, wow, right? Who is this guy? But I'm only shocked because you didn't do it the first 3 years.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting. He's on a 2-year deal, right? I hope that we continue to see the upward trajectory of his gameplay. I really am, right? The coaching staff loves him. They think that he's got something there. I hope so, because we need you. As we lose Leonard Floyd, and we still don't know what we're going to get out of Von Miller, I need you, right? Which really, you know, we're not talking draft, but that could lead us into the draft talk, because there definitely is a big miss for the defensive line. A couple other names just really to throw out there. Most recently, you had the Lyle Collins signing, which I thought was a good signing, right? Playing right tackle. You have the stalwarts there, Spencer Brown and Deion Dawkins. But if you can bring somebody in of size, strength, and caliber to, you know, kind of be in that rotation, and he's a veteran, that really helps to solidify that line. So I thought that was a really good sign. And that was top notch.
Yeah. I mean, that's low risk, high reward. I mean, Lalil, I think, sat out last year. I don't think he was signed by anybody. Obviously, people kicked the tires on him. They didn't like what they saw for whatever reason. So he's a year out to continue to get healthy, to get back. You got to love those low risks when you got a starter already there.
100%. Now, the last one that I do want to speak about, Stevie D, little sad, right? And sad anytime somebody retires due to injury, right? And that is the case for Damian Harris, right? Damian Harris.
He got announced his retirement?
Yeah. We got him as a free agent from the Patriots. They said he was an injury prone, had the game, and, you know, had the neck injury, and, you know, he retired. You hate to see a player end his career due to injury, right? That's a tough one, right? You work so hard all your life. You want your goals, your dreams, your ambitions, and for it to come a time when you're ready to let it go, not when you're forced to let it go. And so that was sad. So, but aside from that, Stevie D, when I look at my bills, I know I'm good. We're looking for 2025. If we get anything special, right? Anything happens, you know, I'm going to be like, the bills make me wanna shout, kick your heels up and shout. So you know, I'll be doing that, but, we're going to have a good year. Just, you know, swing for the fences. Swing. If I had Doug Whaley there, Doug Whaley would be swinging for the fences. That's for sure. That's the guy that traded up to get Sammy Watkins. So probably was his undoing as well. But that's a guy. So But anyway, Stevie D, that's where we are. Next week's the draft, right? Next week's the draft.
Are we going live on draft day?
I don't know. It depends what the OW Sports fans want. If the OW Sports fans say, we want you live on draft day, then I'm getting my coffee mug. I'm probably going to have to place a phone call and say, I won't be in on Friday, right? Because, again, drafting 28th. And see, now, like you said, with all these trades, we could draft 28th, trade up to 9, pick our wide receiver, come back in the first round, and I got to be on air to tell you, just like you were. Well, we weren't live.
We weren't on air, but I called it. I called it. You did. I called the Jets, right? I said, we're not done. We're going to trade back up in the first round. Now, I didn't think it was going to be for Jermaine Johnson. I thought it was going to be Creed Humphrey is who I wanted. And it wasn't – we didn't get Creed Humphrey. Obviously, he was taken before the Jets, and the Jets wound up taking Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah.
You just never know. So if you guys want, we'll go live and we'll have it on. You know, we'll be talking about each pick as it comes off the table. And, you know, but I promise we will not be watching Mel Kiper. Right?
No.
All right. I just want to make sure that there's going to be no Mel Kiper on there. Because I may Twitch back to Kyle Brady either way, right?
Hey, Stevie D, before we wrap things up, a couple things, though, around the league we really didn't touch on. Right? Big moves, big changes, right? You look at the Kirk Cousins deal. That's a big one.
It's a big one because the guy has made the most money in NFL history and has won nothing. Think about that.
This is true. But I'm really curious about this from the Atlanta perspective, right? In order for Atlanta, where they were picking, or where they are picking, because they You have a legitimate shot to get a top-notch quarterback, or what is perceived to be a top-notch quarterback. But the signing of Kirk Cousins totally throws that out. Now they're in play for probably another wide receiver or something along those lines.
They messed up. They should have traded for Justin Fields, saved the money to invest in Justin Fields. Because if he doesn't work out and you want to draft a quarterback, okay, you're at the bottom of the league. You can draft a quarterback, you know, the following year. There's always quarterbacks that are coming out, right?
Yep.
Some years better than others. I would have traded for Justin Fields, saved the money, and then got him more weapons to help him in Atlanta. I think he's in a great situation in Pittsburgh.
I do, too. I think he's got the other thing.
Right? Yeah. He's got a great organization to support him. All the way from the owner down, right? It's a great organization. So he's in a good spot there. I would have liked to see him go back to his hometown and do those things in Atlanta and save the money on Kirk Cousins, because all he's going to give you is $140 million worth of promise and not deliver. And what are you spending $140 million on? Sorry, I think Justin Fields is going to be a good quarterback. He just had to get out of Chicago. For him to
does that signing change the balance of power in that NFC South? Do you now put the Falcons above the Buccaneers?
I think it puts them in the mix. I'm not high on Baker Mayfield. Never was. Good for him. He had a really, really good year last year for Tampa Bay. But maybe that's the way Atlanta looks at it. It's like, now look, Tampa Bay is not that strong. And we can put us in the mix for the division title for the next 3 years for Kirk Cousins and make the playoffs. And that's it, make the playoffs. Because Kirk Cousins has had teams and cannot win a playoff game at home. So to invest that money in Kirk Cousins, when you look at his history, what do you think the Falcons coaching staff is going to do that two regimes in Minnesota could not do with weapons? Dalvin Cook for many years, Justin Jefferson. He had Stephon Diggs. He had all these weapons inside and out. He's had an offensive line. They had very good defenses there for many years with Kirk Cousins as quarterback, and they couldn't win a game. He's got one playoff win, and I thought it was with Washington that he had. Maybe it was with Minnesota, but either way, he's got one playoff victory.
Was it the playoff game when the infamous "You like that? You like that?"
No, I don't think that was a playoff game. I don't know if that was a playoff game, but I think that was a regular season game that there. But I remember what you're talking about on the plane. I don't know. I'm just not high. But what about the Raiders? Right? Yeah. You got Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, what a 1-2 punch that on that line. Ooh, yeah. Boy.
For right? Sure.
And,
for sure.
And you got Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones, right? You know, Aaron Jones is upseated by Josh Jacobs. And then Aaron Jones says, okay, Green Bay, how do you like me now? I'm going to Minnesota.
That I think that's entertaining. That is entertainment at its finest, especially when those two go head to head.
Yeah, right. We got, we can't forget about this one. This was a big one. Craig, thanks for pointing that one out. King Henry, right, adding to the Ravens. Yeah, that's a big signing over there. You can say no. Now, that's a big one.
You know why I did that? You know why I did that?
Why'd you do that?
Tennessee used and abused Derrick Henry so much that tread has worn thin. He may have a game or two where you're like, oh, he's back, but he's not back.
Well, I think it's like anything else. When you hit that 30-year-old marker with all the touches that he had, I think it's normal to say that. But if the Ravens are smart and leverage him in key spots where you're not wearing him down at 25 touches a game, if you can wear down that other team and then give a healthy dose of Derrick Henry in the fourth quarter when everybody's getting tired, I think he's going to bust loose. So I think if you're smart with the touches.
Wait, hold on a second. When Derrick Henry was at his best in Tennessee, he was a 30-touch guy, right? And he would get five or six in the first, five or six in the second, right. And his yards per carry was like 2.2, and then it would go to 2.6. Then you get into the third quarter, to your point, wearing down. That's Derrick Henry wearing these guys down. That's that big body, just steamroller guy. Then he would get to like 3.8 or 4 in the third quarter, and then like 7.8 in the fourth quarter, right?
Right.
Because you have all these breakaway runs. If you don't have that same level of a back to pound, what's Henry going to give you?
Hey, Craig, who else you got at running back? I know you lost Gus Edwards. And you lost J.K. Dobbins, right? I don't think J.K. resigned. Who else you got on the roster besides King Henry?
I'm not sure who was on their.
Right, and you can't say Lamar Jackson.
you know who would say Lamar Jackson?
Lamar JB. Jackson.
Oh, remember JB?
Yeah, JB, man.
JB, if you're out there and you're watching us still, he was. The biggest Lamar Jackson hater and called him a running back. I mean, basically, when you look at their running backs, it's Justice Hill and Derrick Henry. That's it. So unless you want to talk about Patrick Ricard.
Are you going to say the Ravens are going to fold like the Orioles did in the playoffs, just collapse? Is that what you're saying out of the Ravens?
Well, I didn't say that because the
– No, Ravens, I thought that's what you said.
No. Because
no, Ravens, I thought that's what you said.
No. I am throwing no shade on what the Orioles did last year.
Are you sure?
No.
You're talking a lot of noise out there.
See, I only talk noise when I can back it up. And when my teams fall short, just like here's a question. Side topic. Sorry, everybody. I know we're talking football. Craig, the question is, are you a Washington Capitals fan? Because what the Philadelphia Flyers pulled last night, there needs to be some review on this. Stevie D, long story short, Washington needs to win to get in the playoff. If Washington wins, like five or six other teams are eliminated. The Islanders, the Red Wings, the Penguins, all these teams are eliminated, right? But with a minute to go in the game, or a little over a minute to go in the game, the Flyers pull their goalie in a 1-1 tie. Made absolutely no sense.
Are you kidding me? They give the game to the Capitals?
They chip the puck down the boards. Oshie goes down, hits it from the blue line, goes in. Everybody eliminated. Like, what in the world are you doing?
That's awful. That's awful.
It is. But anyways, wow. my Sabres were already done, eliminated. Yeah. We had cleaned out our lockers, so I got no skin in the game. If I did, this whole podcast would be completely different.
Can I get some love for the Islanders who were left for dead? They were left for dead. And then they make the change in head coach and they bring Patrick Waugh in, right? And they struggle. And then they went on that late run at the end of the year. And they told everybody, hey, don't sleep on us. And we're banged up. And they were able to win 8 out of 10.
9-12 or something like that. 8-10.
Yeah, 9-12. Yep. Yeah. I know we won 8-2 run, 9-12. Yep. Yep. We got 91 points.
You hear that, Buffalo? You make a simple change, and all of a sudden, your fortunes can change.
We want the Rangers. We want the Rangers. See, all the Ranger fans are talking smack up there. Well, we took the season series 3-1, blah, blah, blah. Okay. 3-1 with an overtime victory. Come on, Rangers. Give me a break, okay? You don't want none, all right? So when we knock out the number one seed, if we're lucky enough to play, which I think we're going to be the seventh seed, so we won't get you in the first round.
You get Toronto?
We want you.
If you have Toronto, Toronto has a hard time getting out of the first round.
Yeah, I don't know who the two seed is. Is it Toronto?
It may be.
We'll be the seventh seed. I think we locked up the seventh seed with 91 points. So
Stevie D, this was good. It was good to be back in the saddle. Good to be back talking sports. Good to interacting. Craig missed you, buddy. Johnny missed you. You know, all of the regulars are regulars that sit at the sports bar like Cheers that sit there and talk sports with us. We missed you guys.
I thought Marcus was going to talk Patriots, but he didn't. I was surprised. I thought he was going to do it, but I guess because they're
– Why? There's nothing to say. Patriot fans, you know that meme where Homer Simpson backs into the bushes?
Okay.
That is Patriot fan now backing into the bushes, right? We're not going to see them for like another 10 years. That they were talking and chirping and chirping and talking. Well, we're back now.
We're back now. Every Wednesday. Yep.
The hiatus is over. We're ready to rock and roll.
I don't know if we're gonna do. We'll do. I don't know if are we gonna do a Wednesday show and a Thursday, or we're just gonna do Thursday if we go live on the draft.
Yeah, I don't know if we should do live for the draft. We may. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We're definitely going to do a Wednesday show, but we'll figure out if we do anything special. Because that's 3 hours, Craig. 4 hours, you know, the way Roger wants to stretch it out. Yeah, so that's 4 hours on Thursday, 4 hours on Friday. Ooh, that could be a rough
one. Come on. It's like we're the fan. We'll pretend like we're the fan, right? WFAN, right? They do a four-hour show. What do you mean? Well, we can't do four-hour shows?
Now, if we
had, saying that they're better than us?
I'm saying if we had sponsorships like they do, we would be on air. All right, I'm just putting that out there.
Well, if you're gonna put that out there, I guess, right? You're gonna get all technical on me now, right?
So, if anybody out there wants to sponsor OW Sports Podcast, we'll be on for the full draft. But Stevie D, as I was saying, it's really good to be back in the saddle. Chopping it up, having fun doing with this, and interacting with everybody. Great time. And want to thank everybody. You know, as it says on the screen, give us a follow, subscribe. You know where to catch us. And for my co-host, Stevie D, I'm Vince. We'll talk to you soon.